For the YouTube, someone is asking, they like to draw inspiration from the Vinaya, the rules of discipline for Buddhist monks in particular. He would like to know about the rule not to use or visit entertainments, and probably also new music is included. There's one quote in the suttas where the Buddha says that shows and entertainment are a thorn to sense restraint. An important function in the Dhamma practice, particularly for monks and nuns, when you really try to develop samadhi and wisdom insight. It's not now only about living a good and wholesome life, making punya and getting a good rebirth, but if you actually want to develop samadhi and then you want to develop wisdom and insight that you can truly abandon all fetters and attachments, for that a sense restraint is a very important quality. And shows and entertainment is the very opposite. Yeah. So this is why you find it already in the 8 precepts. That is already included. Interestingly, for the monks, it is actually not in the Patimokkha rules, probably because it's nothing that particular evil. And if a monk was to watch something which is more entertainment on YouTube or listen to some music, it's not particular evil, but it disturbs the whole process where you try not to have the mind always flowing out into the senses, into the world. Now, the very deep defilements are known in Pali as asava. It's often translated as the taints or the corruptions. But literally in Pali it means either inflows or outflows. Etymologically, the Pali could be either. And I like outflows, because it always flows into the world, the heart flowing out. And the Dhamma practice is the opposite, bringing the heart inside and unifying it internally. That is samadhi. And entertainment is obviously something that pulls the heart out from internal unification and from quietness and non-activity. Now, the other thing is activity. The samadhi is also known as samatha, calmness, the tranquility meditation. Sapa sankhara samato, the quietening of all formations. Now, even beyond samadhi, you can describe the whole path of Buddhist practice as the ultimate quietening of all formations, of all activities. And entertainment of any sort, and that is all stimulating. And I think it's a very important question, because how much entertainment did they have in ancient Indian village society? Even to get some music, we can't imagine that nowadays anymore, but you need someone to sing or play an instrument. And if you want to have everything together and a couple of instruments and little choir, or you need a whole kind of band, you need skillful people come together and produce that. Whereas for us it's so easy, you could play music continuously your whole life, all the time. And additionally, you can play television and YouTube, and so it's a big problem actually nowadays. And all of that, first of all, constantly puts our mind out. The mind gets used to going out rather than bring it back in. And the second is that it's exciting and it's just increasing sankhara, so to speak, making them bigger. It's not tranquilizing formations, it's agitating formations, thinking, emotions, feelings. Now, why do we use these entertainments? Because you get emotions, you get feelings, pleasant, non-pleasant, but the whole range of emotions. And quite fascinating, people enjoy emotions so much that they may even go into a horror movie to deliberately have feelings of horror. because this seems to be preferable to boredom. People go into thrillers, so they like to be thrilled, which from the original meaning is also not a positive emotion. And of course, then romantic movies, love, and you're hoping with the protagonist, and then when they get separated, and then you're crying your eyes out. The people enjoy that in worldly ways, but this is obviously not the way of the Dhamma. You're not developing equanimity or even the other Brahmaviharas. You're not developing a wholesome joy and gladness, rapture, bliss by these kind of emotions. So it's actually a big thing, although there's no big rule for that. It's a little bit, you could maybe even say that it's a little bit a gap, because obviously the Buddha laid down the rules for ancient India. And going to entertainments would involve, in particular for monks, you would have to go to some kind of circus or whatever you want to call that, or theater, or some event, some festival. And it would, of course, also be more serious, because you would be in a crowd and you're fully seen by everyone as a monk. However, nowadays, you may just be on your mobile phone and watch something. And they're so easy and so quick and apparently quite not so bad, so to speak. But in the accumulation, it will make it so much more difficult to practice sense restraint, to practice reversing this flow. The Dhamma practice is against the stream of craving. But you can also say it's against the stream of going out into the world, into proliferation, and bringing it back to unification internally, and to calm all these emotions, and the emotion is a sankhara. So if you go, whether it's a horror movie, or a war movie where you hate the enemy, or a love movie where you love the protagonist, these are all strong emotions, there's more sankharas, powerful sankharas. You want the opposite, you want very calm, mellow emotions, and then you want very wholesome emotions, very strong. But these entertainments and most music, they don't trigger or bring up super wholesome emotions usually. And some can be even outright unwholesome. There's this fascinating series of suttas in, I think, Garmini Sanyutta, where people ask questions from the Buddha, and the Buddha refuses first to answer because he's anticipating they will not like to hear the answer. And one is a person who later became one of the great disciples, Venerable Vanghisa. But those days he was what is probably an actor at theater. He was the foremost later in Dhamma poetry. He was able to compose spontaneous Dhamma poetry, praising the Buddha, praising the Sangha. But those days, unfortunately, it's not explained exactly what he does, and the terms used is not easily to translate that into what we have nowadays in entertainment. But he was roughly in the entertainment creative industry, being probably on the stage and entertaining people. In his question, he says, entertaining people with both truth and untruth. Main thing is giving them entertainment. And then he says, I have heard from the teachers of teachers among the actors that someone who does that and entertains people very like that, they will go to the laughing devas. And the Buddha says, maybe better you don't ask me. And he is pressing the Buddha two times more, and the third time, then the Buddha answers. And he says, in particular, if it also involves untruth, it may have the opposite effect, and you may go into the laughing hell, so to speak. And I think many people are not aware nowadays that entertaining people is not necessarily something very good and wholesome. You may make bad karma. Of course, it will depend on the exact form of entertainment. And again, if you don't know exactly what Vanghisa was doing there, And it's not exactly like nowadays, but there is definitely a danger. You can even make considerable back karma. Interestingly, when I was young in the 80s, almost late 70s, early 80s mostly, what was considered cool music amongst my peers was actually, I would say, music which would cause unwholesome emotions. And if you have something like ABBA was really looked down, whereas I think ABBA is at least not, how to say, you don't become aggressive or suicidal from listening to ABBA, or whatever you may think about them. But what was considered, Joy Division was considered really cool, and what is that one? Love Will Tear Us Apart Again. How famous that one. Anyway, that guy committed suicide, and the music is sometimes quite suicidal when you listen to that, and you may feel a bit depressed, but people would laugh to indulge in that, because even being melancholic and depressed, a la Blues Brothers or whatever, people may enjoy that in some way, but it may actually be quite unwholesome. And usually someone is considered a great artist if they can trigger, if they can confer a very strong emotion into people. That is also music. Now, that is a great artist, and he presents an emotion, music, and he can really feel that emotion, and then you feel it as well. Now, if that emotion was faith in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, you obviously be making lots of good karma. But how much music we have would be bringing up that kind of emotion. How much entertainment would give that kind of thing. Another important aspect is appamāda and pamāda. Pamāda is negligence, heedlessness. Appamāda is diligence, heedfulness, earnestness. And again, if you're that kind of character and you go out to a party and you maybe consider the party pooper, the spoil sport, this doesn't really work. If someone is really restrained, diligent, earnest, this is not the guy you want to take to your top parties, or the girl. What you have there in entertainment parties and so on is usually in a state of and a pamada, and even intoxication, negligence, heedlessness, and intoxication. Madda, with a short A, pamada, and madda is intoxication, where you just ignore the existential questions. One day I'm going to die. Oops. But this is a reality in every single person here, and one day we're all going to die. If that wasn't the case, if we're all going to live forever, we wouldn't need the Buddha. Wouldn't have to worry about anything. Living maybe in an eternal Shangri-La, then why would you need the Buddha? But there is suffering. There's something like the Gaza war, atrocities on live camera every single day. For now, how long is it going? Four months? On live camera, on atrocities all the time. There's things like that. And it doesn't have to be Gaza war. There can be, if you go into a cancer ward in a hospital here, it's also very cool. So, the function of a lot of music and entertainment is to distract you from that. And many people live their whole life and there's one big distraction that they never have to face this challenging question. What does it actually all mean? What's the point of my life and what I'm doing? What's really the point of it? What is the meaning? These things are not so easy, and once you go into that, it's not so easy to answer that. So for maybe even the majority of the population, the default position is to cover that up and distract yourself. Now that is a state of madda, of intoxication, and pamada, negligence. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? No worries. All good. It's all good. it's actually not really all good. It would be fine if everything was all good, but it's not. You may already have the cancer you die from a year later or something. How would we even know? But unfortunately, you know, the qualities of intoxication and negligence and distraction, you know, twice need to hide that. And if you are actively, you know, using that in the entertainment industry, you may be becoming part of that, you know, helping people to just distract them.
For me, that would be, then I would just watch some science fiction on TV or something. What's a skillful alternative for
us? So follow-up question, in day life you're working hard, in the evening you want to relax. And now you're thinking about the Buddha recommending particular 8 precepts, monks and nuns, no entertainment, no music. How do you can relax? Now, in lay life, I would recommend, and you can take it gradually, it's always gradual training. And there's two ways of gradually moving ahead. The one is restrained and reducing it. You don't have to go in a completely cold turkey and live on 8 precepts permanently, particularly if you're in lay life and you're working. But you can reduce it, and you can play all night a really violent computer game, or you can just listen to some entertainment for a short while. So the first one is restraint and just reducing it. The second is sublimation or refinement. It's obviously quite a wide range of music. And if you go to a Motorhead concert, you may have probably a little bit coarser and less wholesome emotions than when you listen maybe to Bach or Beethoven and some very uplifting music. I mean, tastes obviously differ, but you get some idea. And whatever, one can easily notice that. And if you notice what kind of music has what effect on you, again, entertainments, there are the different levels of entertainment, and some that can be very crude and maybe also quite hurtful. A lot of humor is actually on someone's cost, on someone's making fun of someone. But there can also be a very beautiful, uplifting humor and so on. Or there can be very cynic, sarcastic humor. So then you can follow both courses of action, the one reducing, the other one, what you're still doing, the refining and sublimating. And then you are gradually moving along. And then the other one the Buddha recommends is 8 precepts. You can start by once a month, close to the full moon day. And then ideally once a week, 1 day a week, 1 out of 7, where you have then no entertainment. But that is what the Buddha recommended. That was a traditional way of practice. And then you're accumulating over time, you're actually accumulating a lot of days and weeks and years in the end, if you do that regularly. So it's gradually, and I would really recommend both reducing by increasing the restraint. You can watch television or YouTube and binge watching all night, or you can choose watching a documentary that may not even be education, that may not even be entertainment, but maybe genuinely educational, and increase knowledge and even the Dhamma qualities. So, and then both together.
This positive psychology movement talked about four. I don't know if there's any concept of that.
I totally agree. And for YouTube, someone is asking, how about nature, the entertainment, so to speak, of nature, going for a walk in the bush, seeing a beautiful sunset. What did the Buddha say on that? Now, this wouldn't come under entertainment. This wouldn't come under something that you shouldn't be doing when you're on 8 precepts or that you shouldn't be doing as a monk or a nun, but is actually encouraged, at least to some extent. Now, this has a totally different effect on the mind. If you go for a 3 hours walk in the bush in nature, you will notice you're in a totally different mind frame than binge-watching YouTube or playing a computer game for 3 hours. It's no comparison. It's a completely different effect. And the Buddha was appreciative of nature. And great monks, even the foremost ascetic, well known for also a bit fierce nature and a super strict and ascetic, venerable Mahakasapa. But in the Theravada, you have some of the longest collection of verses from enlightened disciples is actually from Venerable Mahakasapa. So he was not someone who is so ascetic because they are genuinely incapable of even enjoying the refined pleasures. He actually came, they say he came from a very refined high caste Brahman family and had a very rich upbringing and so on. So he was actually a very refined person. Some people are just ascetic because they are just very coarse and so on. That wasn't the case with him. He did that really as a Dhamma practice to Dutanga means shaking off, to shake off defilements, to overcome kilesas. But he has in his poems descriptions of the mountainsides and then these little insects when they're all swarming like ladybugs and the beauty of nature. Very, very subtle or sublime poetry describing how he enjoys that. And similar other monks and even the Buddha occasionally talking about that. So this is something you don't have to restrain yourself in. I mean, obviously, even a good thing, one can possibly exaggerate that. And if a monk is doing nothing else and enjoying nature, that is also then maybe a little bit not enough for samadhi and wisdom. But I can't see any real danger there, honestly. And if you enjoy that, that is something you wanna use and support. And that is one way in how you can maybe even after work and relax in a more wholesome way. And I'm not sure what exactly you work, but many people sit in an office surrounded by artificial material and work on a screen. And then having a little garden, for example, even if it's not a walk in the bush, but being in the garden and doing some garden work and having maybe barefoot, being in contact with the wet, dirty soil and touching plants and getting some water onto your skin and having some sun and wind, I think is extremely helpful in our society because we get more and more divorced from nature. Yeah, so thanks so much for that comment or that question. So go for it. Yeah, it's great.